I'd actually be willing to tell an agent now that if they came in and did exactly what I told them, they'd do a deal in 90 days, or I'd write them a check. Like, I'd be willing to guarantee that if one came in and plugged in to everything we're telling them to do.
Welcome to Uncommon Real Estate, where it's all about finding creative solutions for real estate agents and investors. In exclusive mastermind conversations with some of the brightest minds in real estate, you'll learn how to earn an extra six figures a year. Don't follow the herd. Be uncommon. Here are your hosts, multi-millionaire real estate agent and investor, Chris Craddock and Jeff Seyfright.
Welcome to another episode of the Uncommon Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Craddock. Excited to be here with a guy who has been training literally, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of agents into productivity, helping them get started and move from zero to, you know, the goal is two deals a month. So like, how do you get to two deals a month? How do you get from zero to production? And for all of you that are listening, you may be in one of a couple categories. One, maybe you're new and you're just saying, how do I get into production? Maybe you've been around for a while, but you've never really hit your stride. And so we're going to talk about what are the activities and the habits that will help you get there. And then three, the other piece that we're looking at here is maybe you are you're a team leader on a team, or you're around other people, and how can you help people get into production, right? How can you help your teammates, those around you, get into production? And actually, as you help other people, it'll help you be better, because there's that old ancient proverb, the teacher learns more than the student. So with that said, we are all about being excellent at what we do so we can build wealth in real estate. Wealth is the place where your money works harder than you work. So I'll tell you, if you're not investing in real estate, get into real estate, invest in real estate. All right, that's it for the beginning of the show. With that said, let's turn it over to Chris. And now we did have the man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Seyfright, join us here. So with that said, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you're doing.
Okay. So I guess at this point, I realized when I hit my 20 years in real estate that I've been selling real estate a long time at that point. So that was just recent, just hit 20 years. 21 will be this year, coming up next month. I actually started out as a buyer's agent on a team. That was who recruited me into real estate. I was doing advertising, and one of my accounts was a mega team. They were one of the top teams in RE/MAX at the time. And they brought me on as a buyer's agent, recruited me over to real estate. And I realized that being on a team was not where I wanted to be. At that time, we didn't have the teams that covered large expansions. And so your opportunity was to be a buyer's agent. That was kind of it. And that didn't work for me. So I left and went out on my own. I'm generally pretty lazy. So whereas I was in an office with a bunch of these Mike Ferry guys that were prospecting 4 hours a day, I didn't want to do that. And so I started building my business via my database. And then I found there was a book written about how to do that called Millionaire Real Estate Agent. And that was what led me over to Keller Williams after just a couple of years in the business. And actually bought a Keller Williams franchise in order to be a Keller Williams agent. There wasn't a Keller Williams near us. Sold that back in 2012. And now I find myself working with an organization that's five offices in South Florida and running the PC program for all of those five offices. So currently we have 240 agents that are in our PC program, and we drive very hard. A couple different things we want to do with them is we want to see all of them have a closing in their first 90 days. So we have stuff in place to try to help that to happen. And then we help them build a business that is reliable. Like you said, that two deals a month, this seems to be, that's about right where everybody wants to be. And you can do that with a couple hours work a day, really. And so that's what we're doing now, is we're training agents and holding agents accountable to be able to do that so that they can do those two deals a month.
I'm curious right now, because when I got in, I had, I guess, massive and limiting beliefs about how fast people could get into production. I had limiting beliefs about how many deals they could do. I mean, here's just to be like fully transparent, take down the veil. I'd hear about all these people that were doing 2 to 4 to 6 deals a month. And my thought was, oh, that doesn't happen in the DC area. That's like in a place with $50,000 houses out in Indiana. Like, that doesn't happen here. And honestly, I had these limiting beliefs, and you know what happened? That's what happened with me and our team, right? We didn't have anybody producing at a high level, but then as I hung out with people like you, people that were teaching people to think bigger when I first started, all of a sudden I started producing there. Those around me started producing there and we got into it. So tell me that first 90 days, how often are you seeing people at this point break into that, just so that we can get that whole limiting beliefs out of people's heads here?
I'd actually be willing to tell an agent now that if they came in and did exactly what I told them, they'd do a deal in 90 days or I'd write them a check. Like I'd be willing to guarantee that if one came in and plugged in to everything we're telling them to do. It's the limiting beliefs that stops most of them, absolutely 100%, because they just don't think it can be done. That's really the biggest hindrance I see. Reluctance to do the work would be the next. There's people that just don't want to do the work, right? It's, you know, Dave Jinks used to say, I thought it was the greatest line the first time I heard it, that everybody goes into real estate for freedom, flexibility, and untold wealth. And they take advantage of all the freedom and flexibility and never experience any of the wealth.
Yeah, exactly. So, wait, if I take all the freedom and flexibility, I don't get the wealth, you know?
Right.
That's interesting. I might want to steal that. Like I'm thinking about it. So one of the agents on our team, she's our lead buyer's agent, always says to people that she says the buyers in her buyer script, that there's, think of a big circle with a peace sign, right? You get a price, location or condition, and you get to choose two, right? So it's like, you know, I think the same thing, freedom, flexibility, and wealth, choose two, right? which two do that? And it's interesting. So like Christy just posted on here, she did 9 deals last week in the DC area. Yeah, see, that's the crazy thing. Like I would have never believed that off the bat, that kind of stuff was possible. And I still remember when my mind was open to the fact that we can do this, that it just changes. She has no idea how to lead. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's just crazy. So tell us, like with that, you said, do the work. So what is the work? Like give us a prescription. Like I'm here, I'm suffering from an ailment, and my ailment is that I'm a broke agent that does no deals. Write me a prescription.
Okay. So actually within our program, we call it the 7 steps to $100,000 in real estate this year. So the first one is you get real clear on what you want. You have to come up with a goal. And you know, I hear agents all the time say that they want to make $100,000, $150,000. And there's people that have made $50,000, right? That's been their highest income and they're coming in. And so what I find is they have to be real on what they're going to do with that money, right? If they get a real clear picture on, okay, I'm going to make 3 times this year what I've ever made before, what am I going to do with it? So they have to be real clear on that. So that's definitely the first step. Then they have to have a plan, right? And the plan could be, it's very individualized.
Step one is, what are you going to do with your money?
What do you want? What do you want really? Right. If you're, you know, if you say you're going to make $150,000 a year and you've only made $50,000 a year, let's hear what you're going to do with that other $100,000. Be real clear on it. You have to have a visualization of that. Second one is you have to have a plan, and that's different for everybody. I believe everybody should be working their database. When I was coaching top agents, teams that were doing 300 units a year, and I'd get them to finally start calling their database and their past clients, they'd come back to me always amazed with, I never realized this business was this easy. And the same thing with solo agents. Once I get them to start calling their database, they come back to me and they say they've never realized how easy this business was just by calling people that know you, like you, and trust you.
So tell me, what does that call look like? Let's break that down, because we hear people say work your database and it's a little bit nebulous. Like break it down into the nitty gritty, like get in the weeds for me. I'm your buddy in your database. Maybe you haven't called me in a long time and you feel awkward because we haven't talked, but like we still have a relationship, right? We're still friends. What does calling me look like?
So if I'm an experienced agent and I'm making that call to you, I'm going to come with something of value. When we come into the real estate conversation, I'm going to call you and we're just going to have a conversation and catch up. And I'm going to then tell you that, you know, it'll be brief, just a couple minutes. Hey, how you doing, Chris? I haven't talked to you in so long. And then say, hey, the real reason I was calling was business call today. I know that you probably, this would be a good script for right now. I know you've probably seen interest rates on mortgages jumping way up right now. Do you happen to know what your mortgage rate is? And so now we're having a real estate conversation. I don't necessarily have to ask you for business, but I do need to call you and have that real estate conversation with you 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's That's great. Just asking what somebody's what their mortgage rate is, or if they're locked in, if they have a 30-year fix, or are they on the farm? Are they floating? I mean, that's great. That's great.
There's somebody that, you know, now probably we're past that point. This was great, you know, for the last quarter, but now we're probably past that point where people are there. If they tried to refinance, would be a higher rate. It's been an easier conversation to have with people as far as, you know, they could save money by refinancing. There were still those people out there even in the last quarter. Now, one of the things that I want to know about their rate is I want to have it in my database so that if I do talk to them about selling their house later, I want to tell them about the fact that, hey, we can sell your house to a buyer and they can assume that better rate. So that's something to be thinking about in the market now. Totally different conversation. I know a lot of people aren't thinking that yet, but that's where I would go with that conversation today. Is they're going to tell me they have a rate at 3.5, a rate at 4. I'm like, hey, you know, if you ever think about selling, you have a leg up in that you have an assumable loan. Almost all loans are assumable now. FHA, USDA, you have those in the DC metro area. All FHA, all VA, those are all assumable loans.
Wait, this is crazy here for everybody here, because I know VA loans were the only ones that were easily assumable. Let's talk about that for a second.
All right. So just real briefly, like probably around the time you and I both got into the business, we probably were hearing the tail end about the non-qualifying assumptions, where somebody could go over and they could assume somebody's mortgage and they didn't have to qualify for it. And those went away, I think, completely in the 90s. But all VA loans, all FHA loans, all USDA loans, all government-backed loans are assumable. The buyer does have to qualify, but they are all assumable. And so I believe as we see these interest rates start to climb and we start to see appreciation slow down, there's going to be people with less equity. I believe a really great way for them to be able to sell their houses in the future is going to be by having somebody assume that mortgage. So now on my mortgage call, when I'm making that call, I'm talking to them about that rate and planting that seed for them in the future.
So tell me this. So if I have a house, let's say I own a house at 400, I want to sell it 450 450. How does the assumption work right there?
So the buyer's going to have to they're going to have to come up with that difference. And they can do that either through cash, if they have the cash, or through a second mortgage, like us on the property. And, and a good lender can walk through that whole process, because in order to assume that loan, the buyer does have to make full loan application for that loan. So it is still, it's a full qualifying assumption. They have to do that to assume the loan. And then they also have to have the difference in the equity.
Right.
But here's a scenario I think we may see. And I'll say this about all real estate predictions, is they're all a little bit wrong. But I believe there may be a scenario where it's in your best interest as a buyer to maybe assume a mortgage of $435,000 instead of buying a house for $400,000 because of the rate difference. So if we see enough of that slowdown in appreciation where equity goes away, or maybe even people have some negative equity, that may still be an option for somebody to have a lower monthly payment on the property.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I will say this, I'm personally looking at something now with an owner finance option that I'm trying to put together for somebody, where essentially it's a paying an extra $200,000 for a property that's owner financed, where the guy just literally pays zero interest over, I think, 15 years, but paying a couple $100,000 for this property. This is $1 million plus property. So at the end of the day, the seller's happy because he's taxable income. He's able to just spread out his money over 15 years, but the buyer is really happy because he's paying, you know, like hundreds of thousands of dollars less than what he would be paying if, you know, even though he's overpaying by 200 grand, he basically—
That's a great deal. Yeah. 200
grand up front. So, yeah.
It's like buying points and then having no interest. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's huge. So anyway, Jeff, do you have any questions? I've got a bunch more that I'll just keep grilling.
I definitely have, you just kind of sent me down a rabbit trail of thought with assuming loans and all of that, but to stay on course, and maybe you got through all seven of your steps, but I got sidetracked. So let's try to stay on course, get through the seven steps, because, you know, I'm sure there's certain people on here that are like me. Do you remember being in class and the teacher's like, all right, I got 15 things done. And then like, you know, you missed number six and you didn't catch anything else because you were trying to figure out number six, right? You know, so I know there's probably a few people on here like me that wants all seven and cannot think about five, six, or seven until they hear four. So I don't know where we are at in the seven steps here, but let's get through those.
All right. So here's what we've got. You got to be clear on what you want. Come up with what you want. You have to have an effective business plan or a map to follow. And so we encourage people to step three, which is have a personal brand. So a database that they're feeding, that's the map, right? Is how am I going to feed this database? I know to hit my two deals per year, I need to have this many people in there based on the conversion rate we're seeing, right? So that's your map. And so then now how are you going to, and then your personal brand is how you're going to touch them. So that's phone calls, email, direct mail, whatever the case is going to be. And so then it's learn sales mastery, right? You do have to know sales in real estate. And we see time and time again that the people that have sales experience, they don't have the call reluctance. They know from their own personal experience, they overcome those limiting beliefs. We see those people hit it out of the park coming into real estate right off the bat. So
I promise I'm not going to drag us down a rabbit hole, but sales mastery, give us like three little bullet points. Like here's where you can go to just better yourself on sales mastery. And then I won't bring us any further down that hole.
Any sales books are definitely a good place in reviewing those. Doing scripts and role play, we've got to do that. Doing live prospecting where you're listening to other people and having them coach you, those kind of things. So that's where we're going to do sales mastery in real estate. I'm still a big fan of anything and everything Zig Ziglar has ever said.
Which I will say this, Zig Ziglar, Ultimate Zig Ziglar Library on Audible. It's like, you know, I think like 40 hours worth of stuff that you get with one credit. So definitely check that out.
Oh, I definitely will. That's nice to know. All right. So step five is you got to have a legal understanding. You got to know the contracts in and out and everything within your marketplace, right? And not even just your state or whatever the case may be, but in your local market, you've got to know what's going on and how things work in depth. Six is looking for opportunities for leverage. Where can I, you know, as soon as you start to get a little bit busy, hiring a transaction coordinator or even hiring a transaction coordinator with your first few deals, right? And just never doing that. And then as soon as you start to build like at two transactions a month, you should have a full-time assistant that you're using for leverage. And then the last step is you got to create raving fans. So you're coming up with what your perfect client looks like. And then that's who your target is. And of course, you'll do business with other people. Let's say you're military and VA, you want to be your niche. Of course, you're going to work with other people as well, but you have to have what that perfect client of yours looks like. Get into the habit of getting testimonials with them right from the get-go, having them leave reviews for you everywhere. And eventually you'll create your own unique value proposition. So there's our seven steps there.
Yeah. So what would you said sales books real quick. What would you say are like, so you said Zig Ziglar, what would you say are a couple sales books that everybody should get?
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or seven habits. Yes. There you go. Put me on the spot now. That's going to be my one recommendation. I'm going to leave it at that.
Cool. Flip the script, pitch anything, and close your survival guide are like my three favorite sales books. I think those are just incredible. So yeah. So I'll just add that to it. I love those.
Chris, what are some of the mental blocks or blocks that you see keeping newer agents from following these seven steps and, you know, getting to the, you know, getting to higher production?
A lot of people are really reluctant to call people they know. And I've even seen where they've called and had success and never gone back to it. And the excuses are myriad. I had one who told me one time that everybody in his sphere was too far away. And so it didn't make sense for him to call him. I reminded him that we can collect referral fees as licensed real estate agents. So there's always going to be something new, but there's never been anything that with conversations, we haven't been able to work through it. I remember an agent many years ago where she wanted to farm her neighborhood where she lived and she didn't have money for doing direct mail or anything. So we talked about door knocking and we talked about phone calls and went through and created a list for her just from using, you know, demographics of how long people had lived in their home and things of that nature and said, here, there's going to be 25 listings in this list of 100 homes this year. I guarantee it. You got to go out and find him before anybody else does. A few months later, she sees me in the hallway. She's like, hey, I wanted you to know that list has been right on. And I said, really? You've been getting good listings from it? She's like, no, I've just been watching what's been coming on in the market and seeing that all those houses you gave me are listing.
That's the worst. Wow.
Painful. So making calls works. It still works. I will say that with agents that I've been talking to have been actively doing FSBOs and expireds right now, that they've actually been setting more appointments via text than with phone calls. So it's a phone call with a voicemail left and a follow-up with a text, and the text conversation typically turns into the appointment as opposed to another follow-up phone call or the person calling back.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. I think it works with, I think most people would prefer a text over a phone call for whatever reason these days, especially the younger the crowd, the less likely, in my experience anyways, that they want that phone call.
That's, well, and if you recall, like, let's not talk about like the sphere, the people that know you, but let's say a FSBO expired, circle prospecting, an inquiry from a Facebook ad, those kind of things. We used to say that most of those sales were made on the fifth or seventh follow-up, right? That was the two with the highest percentage. And I'm seeing anecdotally, I haven't studied it and run numbers, but it's looking more like the eighth and 10th now. And I think part of the reason for that is, you know, we all have a cell phone number. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to call enough times that people recognize that that's the real estate agent calling. And then you have to happen to hit them at a time when whatever they're doing is less important to them than that real estate transaction. It happened to me with a truck. I accidentally submitted an inquiry for a truck one time and went, oh no, now I'm going to hear from every truck dealer, every Ford dealer in town. And I heard from five of them immediately. And then there was only one that kept following up. And one day he happened to call at the same time. I got to a point where I recognized his number, and he called at a point in time when what I was doing was less interesting to me than finding out about the truck. And I answered the phone and scheduled his test drive.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a hard thing because, you know, even as a, you know, one of the biggest tricks that I had to do when I was a new agent was answering phone calls that I didn't know myself. Right. Like I'm an agent. Right. And I, you know, I'm supposed to be receiving phone calls from people that I don't know. And I'm still like, I would deny it. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. Right. So, you know, you do have to get over that, and you got to figure out a way to get some number recognition. You know, one of the things that worked for me, I don't do it as much anymore, but for a while I was doing, especially as I was developing my presence and whatnot, is I would actually record a short video of myself and send it to people and just say, hey, you know, just say, hey, this is Jeff. We spoke once before, or we had texted once before, and I've just had trouble getting in touch with you. Wanted to just give you, put a face to a name or something. Right. And I had pretty good response rate from that, you know, that went really well. I will say, on the other hand, I got lazy once and I wanted to do like this video, almost infomercial, if you will. And I like blasted that out to all of my friends in place of calling them. That didn't go over so well. I didn't get as good of a return on that. But I do think that, you know, any way that you can kind of create some number recognition, even facial recognition, I think it is beneficial.
For sure. And I was really reluctant to get into video. It was younger agents on my team that convinced me I had to do it. And I was amazed how almost instantly we started seeing higher response rates and much more engagement. And now that's, you know, twice a month, my entire database gets videos from me.
So Millie asked, how do you get somebody's number if you don't know them? I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. Deal Machine is an easy one. Use the promo code Uncommon. PropStream, use the code Uncommon. All of those things. You can skip trace numbers. You can get any number that you want.
And what was that promo code?
Uncommon. Uncommon.
Nice.
Yep. And basically use the promo code. You'll get everything. I think it's like half off, you know, on it. And then ongoing, I think you get a couple cents off per data pull you run. So yeah.
Nice. Pretty cool.
So pretty cool. outside of texting, are there any other, I mean, obviously social media, but are there any other common practices that it, that an agent can do to start to develop brand awareness and connecting with their clients or potential clients, friends, network?
There's the texting. Like I said, I'm video emails now for my database twice a month with another email that's going out that's all text. And yeah, social media is, of course, still huge. That's, I do have actually an ad. So as in Facebook, my entire database is an audience that we update about every 2 weeks as new people come into the database. And there's a video ad that I actually have running to target that database.
Awesome. Cool. I know we need to start wrapping here. I was just asked to repeat the books that I was recommending as well. Flip the Script and Pitch Anything. Those are both by Orrin Clapp. And those are probably two of my favorite sales books by far. And then I'm not a big fan of a lot of the Grant Cardone books because a lot of them are just rah-rah, just work harder, do more, you know, which is good, you know. But as a coach, I remember there were some times I needed to yell at people to work harder and do more, but more it was more tactical advice. His one book, The Closer Survival Guide, has a lot of tactical advice on being a better closer. And I really, and all the different types of closes and stuff. I really like that one. I think it's his best book that he has out there.
It's funny that you mentioned Cardone, because that was, I think it was after reading one of Cardone's books that I sent the video infomercial to all my friends, basically, you know, telling them how great I was and how much I would smoke the competition and save them money. And, you know, just did my greatest Cardone impression, and it was not great. So, yeah, just regardless of the books that you're reading, be careful of the prophets you choose to follow, right? You know, Cardone is fantastic, but he can rile you up the wrong way if you're not careful.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Chris, this has been awesome having you here. I know we've got a couple quick offers. Jeff, do you want to share that? And then we'll call it for today.
Oh, yeah, sure. So,
Chris, how can people find you?
Oh, cell phone, 786-647-8671. Text me first, just like we talked about, or email me. I'm a DOP, so Director of Productivity at L5Leaders.com.
Love it. Love it.
Awesome. Yeah, so friends, wherever you're listening to the podcast at, if you're listening to it, iTunes, Spotify, where it is, you know where you're at. Go on there, give us a rating. That would be fantastic. Give us a 1-star if you think that, you know, Chris needs to clean up his acts. Give us a 5-star if you think I'm amazing. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you know, honestly, give us feedback. Let us know if you have any questions, any topics you want to cover, whatever it is. We would love to do so. Also, send me a text at 703-899-7270. One more time, 703-899-7270. And would love to connect with you, spend some time on the phone, 30 minutes to an hour or so, figuring out how we can help you level up. Anything that we can do to help you, that's what we're here for. We want you, as well as ourselves, to be uncommon agents here in the real estate field. So that concludes today. We'll be back on Thursday, same time, same place. We'd love to see you here live. Until then, continue crushing it. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Uncommon Real Estate. Subscribe to the podcast to stay up to date with the latest mastermind conversations from Chris, Jeff, and other uncommon real estate industry leaders. If you love this podcast, please write us a review. And to fast track your real estate career, go to chriscraddock.com.